Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Occasions from Steelers Packers to Steelers Colts yesterday. But I saw the Packers loss coming. That being said, the defensive performance was so putrid outside of that second quarter in the second half of the game that, you know, it had people here disgruntled and ticked off. You're a $160 million defense. You're dead last in pass defense. You're 22nd in points. You're 30th in yards. I mean, just completely unacceptable. But what I'm getting at is this. They had, yes, two bad losses, but it's followed up by a great win. And I think the NFL played out in a way yesterday with some of the other outcomes and results in games, where if you're a Steeler fan and you're looking now like, hey, I was searching for, hoping for a reason to get back on the bandwagon and believe in this team again, and they gave me it. They gave me that. The team did it, and the NFL took care of the rest. I don't think that that's like a reactionary, knee-jerk move to one game. It's a different NFL today than it was at 1 o'clock yesterday. We got to watch and take in a whole day and night of games, and you now draw new conclusions based off of all that.
What was the result yesterday outside of the Steelers that was most eye-opening maybe to you? Is there one singular
game? The Bills beating the Chiefs, because the Chiefs don't look like complete world beaters now, and the Bills were at less than 100%. The Bills still have their own problems. They don't have wide receivers that get open enough. Another tight end got injured. Their best defensive lineman is out for the year. And they took down Kansas City.
And so does that knocks them down enough of a peg, Kansas City, where you, I don't even know if you actually harbored this opinion, but you don't put them in the, they're going to figure it out, they're going to be fine, and they're going to end up there at the end of the day.
I mean, I feel like they probably will.
But it doesn't feel as ironclad as what you're saying.
They're not in the playoffs if it started today. They're 5-4 right now. They've got like the same record as the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
Yeah. Like I still think Kansas City is probably pretty darn good. Their offense has been way better this year than it was last year. But also the thing that they've been stripped of is this invincibility in close games. Now they can't win any close games.
That's correct.
That's a huge change from last year. Like that's the one thing they got ripped for last year. Oh, they only win close games. They're not actually that good. They end up going all the way to the Super Bowl. This year, they pretty much pummel teams. And if any team gets them into a dogfight, they lose. So, Denver's 7-2. Do they? There's 3 7-2 teams in your conference. You've beaten two of them. And the other one needed a last-second field goal to beat a backup quarterback yesterday.
Although that Houston team is still a nasty, nasty defense to be reckoned with.
Sure. But look at their record. Would you rather be the Texans or the Steelers right now?
No, I'd rather be the Steelers. I'm saying for Denver's sake, them going on the road, even with against a backup and beating a team that was going to make it a low-event game is impressive.
That's why I'm not drinking it fire hose style, but I'm sampling Kool-Aid again. Just little
The only thing that has me feeling like maybe I should be taking dainty sips, what is your pinky out while you do
yes.
this? Dainty pinky out sips of Kool-Aid is, as much as I am skeptical, for good reason, like anybody should be, that their defense is going to be that splash play oriented the rest of the year. They won't be. You can just say it straight away. There's only four games where a team has forced at least five turnovers this year in the NFL. The Steelers have two of them. They might get one more if they're lucky, I guess. I don't think their offense will be as bad as it was against a bad defense. I do think that the one thing that I'm like really, or I guess there's two things about their defense, Pony, that I'm quietly encouraged about, and that's going to shock you. It's going to shock all of our listeners who think I'm just morose, Eeyore-like at all times.
They do?
Yes. I do think Ramsey at safety, if they can figure out the things, the pieces around him, could be a very good move for them. If they can just lock him in there and say he's going to be our weapon who is deployed back there, we'll put a reliable tackler with him, and we'll just hope for the best.
And by back there, I don't mean he's always 30 yards off the line of scrimmage
what I mean.
Like Minka was.
He'll be their weapon. He'll be moving around more like Troy used to.
Yeah.
And you've got that guy, and he's setting the tone. He apparently gave the big speech before the game
and was just,
you know, firing people up like
that
no one's
was
business.
The greatest oration ever performed before a football game is the way Aaron Rodgers made it sound.
Well, I think Rodgers does, all kidding aside, like respect that Ramsey doesn't
he loves
screw
Ramsey.
Around and that he gets after it. I do think that Ramsey being back there could help them a lot. And then the very big wild card for me, because this guy's been really bad in games this year. He's looked lost. If Peyton Wilson had a light bulb of sorts go on and can be even close to that level of fly around the field playmaker.
Well, yes.
Even close.
Yeah, but we've also buried the lead here. The most expensive player on their defense, who came in with 4.5 sacks, fewer than Myles Garrett had in one game, performed probably the biggest single play of the Steelers' season that turned that game around. That's why you pay a guy that kind of money, to change the outcomes of games. And he hadn't done it all year. He did make, actually that's not true, made a big play at the end of the New England game, where he forced that fumble at Drake May, and then the Steelers came down and scored a touchdown.
So he's the guy that is your lead on defense? I thought the play of the game.
You need your best players to be your best players. Okay, like Jalen Ramsey moving to safety, I think, might unlock something in their defense. I agree with that. If Jalen Ramsey's better back there, but T.J. Watt is still a guy that's lost a step and isn't a $41 million player, I got news for you. You're not going to be a great defense this year.
He made one massive play, but I did not think he had like some, other than that, unbelievable game. He played 60 snaps. I thought one was spectacular, and I thought 59 of them were okay.
What, back to being the other T.J. Watt that's gotten blocked all year?
Not $41 million good. He made one massive game and possibly season-altering play.
So wait a minute. If you're going to like use an adjective, great, good, average, below average,
yeah,
bad.
Good game. I thought he had a good game.
Good game.
I think for sure two Steelers defenders had great games.
So, does it matter? Like, if Ben Roethlisberger had 110 yards going into the final drive of Super Bowl 43, but then orchestrates that drive, and that's really all he does in the game, does he have just a good game or a great game?
Well, that's a Super Bowl, Pony, so I think we can all answer that question collectively.
No, but it's the same. It's the same
it's
premise.
It's not, because the,
yes,
stakes,
it is, 'cause
the stakes of the game are fundamentally different.
We're talking about not a season. We're talking about just one game. How do you evaluate somebody's performance in a game?
Play, but I don't think outside and absent that play, it was one of those where you're constantly looking up going, wow, Watt wrecked another one. Watt did it again.
I thought he was around Jones. This is the same. See, like, now you're moving the goalposts a little bit. I thought he had
What are you
game.
Doing, reading the YouTube comments? Some guy named Mark literally just accused me of doing that in the same time frame.
Because your whole argument for Parsons last week was, man, he didn't show up and down the stat sheet, but you felt him on basically every drop back in the second half, and that's how I felt about Watt. Yes, he did not have a 6-sack game, but he was around the quarterback and noticeable for most of the game, and oh, by the way, he made the biggest play of the game. Like, part of me understands where you're coming from, because you want to hold a player like that up to almost an impossible standard, But to say that he just said, oh, it was a good game. I mean, the other 59 plays, he went back to being 30-year-old T.J. Watt who was on a milk carton. That's preposterous.
If he had, so he just, I'm going by PFF. They had him credited with one sack and one hurry, so two pressures, okay?
Yep.
If he finished a season with 34 quarterback pressures.
Yep.
17 of which are sacks.
Yeah.
And that was all he did.
If so, he had 17 sacks.
No, but hold on. He's got 17 sacks, and other than that, he's got like 17 other charted times where he got near the quarterback.
Yeah.
Would you say that he had a very good season? One sack a game.
If it included also a forced fumble
in
every game.
No. They're just sacks. You have no idea if he's forcing fumbles every time, time.
I can't play that game because he didn't just have one sack in this game. It was a sack where he took the ball away and then recovered it.
How many times must I repeat myself? It was the play of the game, but like, I don't think I'm burying the lead when I say that Ramsey, I thought, was very good at free safety.
Yep.
And that Peyton Wilson, a guy who has been much maligned this year, who isn't making a ton of money. People are just mad at him because he has stunk sometimes.
Yes.
Played awesome. Those are two bigger items than your $41 million guy making, one big transformative play.
Okay, then if you're, and I don't always, you obviously know I don't always just say what Tomlin says is gospel or what Aaron Rodgers says is gospel. They both said after the game that they probably would have lost if not for what T.J. Watt did. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it was T.J. Watt did it for 60 plays or did it for one play. He changed the outcome of the game.
Yes.
It has to be a great game by him. It has to be. If he's the guy that's getting credit for turning a loss into a win, how can it be described as anything other than great? I don't think this is even semantical. I think this is actually a real discussion point. Like, you're kind of shrugging your shoulders at it like, good game.
His standards, he made one.
Not his standards this year.
By his standards, career-wise, he made one exceptional play and then was pretty solid the rest of the game.
Donnie, whose side are you on here?
I already know what side he's on. I know what I'm fighting a one-on. It's a handicap match here.
Yeah, I thought he had a great game. I mean, the only reason he missed out on a game ball for me was that Wilson was phenomenal. Kyle Duggar
showed up.
Was pretty good for being
if
a guy
Kyle
that
Duggar
just showed
didn't
up
get
the other
there
day.
3 days ago, you would have given Watt. A
correct.
Game ball.
Yeah, well, and Alex Highsmith had his best game.
And this
of the
is
year.
Wild. This is the thing. PFF's second highest graded Steelers defender, T.J. Watt. PFF's highest graded, Highsmith.
Okay, that proves my point.
Kyle Duggar, 19th out of 24 qualifying players. They thought he was actually pretty bad. And then
what does that have to do with what we're talking about with Watt? That's not really helping your argument at all.
I was just saying PFF agrees with you guys about Watt, but they do not agree with you about Duggar. Just getting our daily quota of PFF in on a Monday.
412-928-9370. Are you starting to believe in the Steelers again? 412-928-9370. Did you think that T.J. Watt had a $41 million? You're saying that the game did not live up to the contract, which is just crazy to me.
Did not feel like he made one exceptional play, and I expect him to affect more than one play. I know he was around the ball. He hurried the quarterback on another play, charted hurry.
Who had a better game, Parsons against the Steelers last week or Watt yesterday?
I have to say Watt.
Thank you, and you loved Parsons' game last week.
Well, just because
there
if
you
Watt
go,
doesn't
Donnie.
Make the play,
finally.
Then they don't, you know, they don't probably, they probably go down 14-0, and we're talking about a
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
4-4.
It was everything. You know, we were running on the beach offensively. We needed a short field. And like all great players do, man, he provided it when we needed it most.
I think that was, you know, that was a turning point in the game, for sure. 7-0, they were driving. We ended up turning that into 7, I believe. So that was good. It wasn't a pretty drive. You know, we had a 4th-and-1 conversion. But that changed the game, 100%.
Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers singing the virtues of T.J. Watt for that big turning point play. Chris Mueller, a little bit more of a hard sell there. Not in terms of the importance of that play, but the
overall evaluation of Watt's performance. He was at best, their third best defensive player, maybe further down the line.
Well, PFF disagrees with you, and you love PFF.
Oh, you're using PFF now. Interesting.
No, I'm not using PFF to support my own ratings of players in the game. But
I'm not like a one-dimensional person who always agrees with PFF, as I have pointed out many times.
So would you consider yourself a PFF acolyte?
No. Oh, no. Not an acolyte. Merely, I love to consume.
I love to consume.
I'm a consumer. A lot of people in this business, they love to consume.
Here is John in Brookline on the Steelers. Hello, John.
Greetings. How are you guys?
We're good.
This argument about T.J. Watt,
yeah.
I'm going to take exception with Chris's opinion. Big time. I think because of the way offenses are forced to deal with TJ, it leaves a lot of other people open. It's hard to get after the quarterback and take him down 27 times when you've got 2 and sometimes 3 people on you.
Have you watched lately? Not this game, but have you watched lately? Teams have been single blocking him routinely.
One at a time. They pushed him out so far and he still curls around. No, I see. I don't agree. I have watched the games, and I particularly this game paid attention to Watt because everybody's been knocking him, and I watched him get hit, get up, get hit by somebody else, and then somebody else is waiting for him. But at the same time, that leaves people like Highsmith and Wilson open to make those plays.
Like, if Chris said to you right now, John, if Chris' next line to you in this argument was, well, guess what, John? I think Myles Garrett is better than T.J. Watt. Would you agree or disagree with him on that?
It depends on what you're measuring him on. I mean, if you're measuring him
John
in
Brookline,
would you rather, if you had the choice of having Myles Garrett play for this team right now or the current thing you have, which is T.J. Watt, who would you want?
I'd take T.J. in a moment.
Then why did you have such a hard time answering it at first until I just put it to a very binary decision?
It wasn't that. I was trying to reemphasize my point that it's unfair to measure him strictly on stats when no one's recording how many times he is taken out of the play by multiple.
Okay, like a guy like Garrett
is,
like Garrett has twice the sacks and is also double and triple teamed more than Watt.
Hey, John, I actually didn't come prepared for this conversation with the numbers, but there are actually people who track how often a guy is double teamed. So we could probably find that to see how many times T.J. Watt in games this year, and even the game yesterday, how many times he faced more than a single blocker. So thank you for the call. He took exception with Mulsey. There's a first.
I wish he had taken umbrage.
Here's Buzz on the fan. Hello, Buzz.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, I definitely agree with Mulsey. I just don't see. I mean, they're paying a guy $41 million. And, yeah, he had the one sack. But let me ask you guys this. Do you guys have stats on how many defensive plays that he actually played?
Yes.
Because I saw at least twice that he was on the
snaps. He played 60 defensive snaps. They had 78 of them total in the game.
Well, why doesn't he play 78 snaps then?
Because he goes so hard, he can only play about 2/3 of them.
Because I don't really think...
That's a joke. That's a complete joke.
Okay, so maybe 2/3 is a little bit sketchy, but there's no edge rushers in the NFL who play every snap of every game. There just aren't.
guys, if you're being paid that much money, you should be able to go out there on special teams and defense and play.
Great. Well, I'm telling you right now, Micah Parsons doesn't do that for Green Bay. Max Crosby doesn't do that for the Raiders. Miles Garrett doesn't even do
that
for Cleveland.
Dak Prescott makes $60 million. Should he play special teams for the Cowboys because he's making so much money?
Listen, you guys know I'm just messing around with the special
teams.
But what I'm saying is you look at him on TV, he's on the sidelines, and there's many games he's on the sidelines when it's third and fourth down.
Let me ask you one more question that's a serious one. Who deserves, then, more money, in your opinion, annually? Patrick Queen, who typically plays 100% of the snaps, or T.J. Watt, who does not?
Well, I don't think Patrick Queen is really, really that good.
But he plays 100. Okay, do you think Jalen Ramsey's pretty good?
Yeah, yes, I do.
He also played 100% of the snaps. Is he a guy, and he typically would play 100% of the snaps, who deserves more money, Ramsey or Watt?
I mean, that's two different positions. I mean,
right, that's the whole point, is that at edge rusher, guys, I have gotten frustrated at times with how often he's on the sideline and situationally times where he's not been on the field too. I don't disagree with that.
He's had bad timing sometimes when he taps himself out, but like, I must object to the idea that if an elite edge rusher can't play every snap of the game, then why are they making that kind of money? That's just not how football works.
We clearly do not agree on this.
By the way, there's one edge rusher who does generally play every snap.
Who's that?
One guy who plays, I think, a very high percentage, and it's Max Crosby. He's an outlier in that particular respect.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, what I was going to say was, through the first seven games of the season, it looked like that TJ Watt contract was not going to age well. After watching the game yesterday, I am optimistic that he is going to play and perform better over the course of the second half of the season. And there's still time and opportunity for him to show that at least for this year, he will have earned his money. There's a lot of game left for him. If this were a baseball game, we're in like the top of the fifth inning right now. And he's down, but he just showed you in this game that he can still dial it up and be the TJ Watt that is a first ballot Hall of Famer and a guy that's a former Defensive Player of the Year.
Do you think he's
encouraged by what I saw.
You think he's going to play well enough that you start to feel a little thaw in your overall opinion about his contract? Because you didn't like it either.
No, I didn't. But here's Sunday, for example. Okay? Joe Walt's out. Rashawn Slater's been out all year. The Chargers are playing pumpkins at left and right tackle. Yeah, they're going to have a tight end help out. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with, you know, running back staying in the block sometimes.
Although Marion Hampton won't be one of them.
Or Najee. So find a way to make plays in this game, too. I mean, this, you want to talk about in the past, a game that TJ Watt would be, he'd want the backup tackles, you know, he'd want them to get limousine service to make sure that they were at the game for this one so he could get his two sacks and game-changing play. That's what he should do again on Sunday. And if he doesn't, I will be disappointed and upset because this is, you pay him $41 million to take games like this next game over, given the Chargers' injury situation.
I mean, I think the difference between you and I looking at this is, and even maybe with the Steelers themselves, that I am trying not to overreact too much week to week to certain things, unless I see like an overwhelming performance. And I saw an overwhelming defensive effort by the Steelers, but I think in context of their season, I can't get too excited yet about it because I need to see it multiple more times.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Watt, frankly, I need to see like a spree here. I need to see him go on a tear. But right now, I still don't see a ton of evidence that I'm actually...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to.
It is 5:30, the Monday after a Steelers game, which means it's time for PM Team Professors. We've already gone over a lot of guys like Aaron Rodgers, TJ Watt, Mike Tomlin. Let's get to some other stuff. Donnie Grade, the Steelers 2005 Super Bowl 40 homecoming ceremony from yesterday's game.
I think you were there. Plus.
Yeah.
A plus. Easy A plus. I mean, you know that we're a nostalgia town, and man, did that hit all the chords.
Did they just bring everybody out and introduce them? What happened?
So they showed a little like highlight package from that season. They showed a little bit of the clips from Saturday night. They had like that reunion dinner that Pomp emceed. And then they...
Could any schmo have bought tickets to that? Because I would have liked to have gone to that. Like, would you have to... Were those available? Like, could I have gone to that for...
I don't know.
A couple hundred bucks?
Maybe I should look back at my email and see if there was a season ticket holder perk or something. But after that, then they brought out all of the guys. They pretty much just went numerical order, but they kept two of the heavy hitters at the end for obvious reasons. They introduced coaches. LeBeau got a massive pop. And then they went player by player. Kicked off, of course, by none other than Jeff Reed, who has seen some better days.
What do you mean?
He's looking a little rough.
Like, in what respect?
Like, has he put on a lot of, like, not good pounds?
Has he lost his hair?
Okay, so our friend Josh Roundtree did the honors yesterday. He tweeted out a picture just solely zoomed in on Jeff Reed.
From what?
It got from, like, the team picture that they took yesterday before okay. the game. And it got pretty good good run.
He kind of looks like he's doing like a bit of a Dracula thing or something, or like that he's in like a cover band of some sort.
He does look like he's in a band.
The facial hair, the chin strap or whatever is a very interesting choice Jeff Reed.
So Jeff Reed just looking as hilarious as ever out there. But I mean, he's still got a good
ovation. He got the biggest pop?
No.
I mean, he got a good ovation. I mean, as did a lot of these guys. I mean, you had Kiesel back there. You had Larry Foote since...
They were on a bye week.
Yeah, bye week.
He told me he was going to do that when I saw him in August.
James Ferrier, obvious big pop. Peasy, a huge one. I was hoping that Peasy would do the vintage kick.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do the kick. I thought that would get a...
Somebody was sitting next to him during the game who was wearing a blanket. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
When Porter got the interception to... seal it. They showed his reaction in the crowd wearing his son's jersey. And the former Steeler, if you look at the video, see if you can pull the picture up. The Steeler alumnus who's standing next to him is wearing like a blue blanket as a shirt. What do you call those?
Like a shawl?
Like a snuggie?
A shawl or a shawl.
Yes, it's a man wearing a shawl. It's like, definitely a guy. It's definitely a former player.
A parka.
And it's like he throws his hands up in the air, and you couldn't see his face from the way.
You know, it's another observation about this team picture that they took.
Oh, he's back on this one. Yeah.
You ever be somebody in a picture who's getting like on an airplane, you're in the middle seat and you're really getting squeezed?
A couple of the guys are squeezed. I saw
Bettis
that picture.
Is just man spreading to beat the band, and poor Fanica. Oh,
well, that's like, because Fanica's like a buck
that's
60
what I mean.
Now.
If Fanica was in his prime as a player, no way he's letting that happen. But here's the problem. Bettis just looks like he's spreading out. He's making himself at home.
Like he's trying to get both armrests on a chair on a plane.
Like his arms actually look like that. And he also Peasy is in between Bettis and Hampton. So poor Peasy just looks like this.
Where are our guys B-Mac and Chris Hoke?
Hold on. Here's the other thing.
Chris Hoke, I mean.
So Fanica's problem is on the opposite side of him is Art II. So he's not going to, like, shove Art out of the way.
You're right. He couldn't push it to his side.
Fanica looks like a second grader, kind of, who got told to sit still for pictures, and he's basically like this. I'm doing this for the YouTube feed. He's like, his shoulders are tucked in and hunched. Poor guy getting absolutely killed by Bettis there.
Where's B-Mac in the picture?
Front row next to Ben.
Wow!
I was going to say, he got a pretty good spot. And I mean, where's... he was like the second player introduced, too.
Where's Hokie, bro?
I feel like Hokie was in the back.
Hokie was in the back next to... I can't even...
You back there next to Troy Essex?
I believe so.
Who's Troy next to?
Troy was not there.
Yeah.
I would say... Yeah, listen, Troy is basically just going to be the Lambert of those teams.
He's a hermit.
He is very content that football is over for him.
I know, man, but he did make it sound at his Hall of Fame induction or enshrinement speech like he appreciates the camaraderie of the guys he played with and cherishing the things that they did. And I thought he might come back for this one.
Oh, you know who Hoke's next to? I honestly, don't get mad at me, couldn't remember based on the number. Travis Kershke.
Oh, number 90.
Yeah.
Was Heath Miller there? He probably got a massive
no,
pop.
Heath no. was another. I would say there were four pretty big players on that team that were not there. No Heath.
Okay.
No Troy. No Hines. Oof. And no Fast Willie.
Man, how do you honor that team without those four guys?
Well, I mean, I think...
Don't you find a weekend that works for those four guys specifically? Unless Troy says no weekend works because I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's where I kind of come down on him.
So here's another guy who I think is another just... You talk about offensive lineman who slimmed down. Now, this guy was never the tallest dude. Chucky Okobie in this picture does not look like he's maintained the playing weight. He was like 6'1", 3'10".
He was there. Hardings was there.
Hardings, yeah.
No Marvell Smith. That would have been a good one. Him and Kendall Simmons.
Were both gone?
Yeah, they were not there. You got Ike Taylor. You had a lot of the linebackers. Also, we got to give an RIP to Clark Hagans, yeah, a man on that
sure.
team. That,
yeah. Also, how about just, Chris Gardocki? Was he there?
On, no, Tommy Maddox was, though.
He was,
and
though.
Did that get a pop, baby?
Did it?
Yes, it did.
I think it's deeply funny that other than, like, your eye is drawn to the low center where Art Rooney is sitting and LeBeau is sitting with his gold jacket, Reed is damn near dead smack in the middle of this thing.
It's hilarious.
It really is, man.
It could not have been funnier.
And he's also surrounded by coaches, so they're wearing jackets, and so him wearing a jersey is very set off from everything around him. It's like if you were doing a composition, right, for, like, photography class, people would probably say Jeff Reed was the star player of that team.
I mean, he's really smiling like he just found out that the woman of his dreams wants to sleep with him later that night, doesn't he? Just, look at his face.
It's really funny. No,
we
Cedric
gotta get
Wilson
him on
either,
the show.
Huh? Cedric Wilson not in that
no.
picture.
Well, yeah, and then Randall L. coaching, too, so he was out. But, yeah, then the last two were Ben and then Bettis, and, man, the pops
bigger,
were
who
something
Who got the
else.
Bigger pop, Bettis or Ben?
I actually think it was Big Ben.
Well,
but
he
I mean,
saved
they,
Bettis's bacon
yeah,
that year.
I mean,
year.
They both got huge ones.
LeBeau get a bigger pop than anybody?
No, I would say Ben.
Okay.
LeBeau, biggest one out of the coaches. Cal were not there because of NFL Today.
Hello, this is Hall of Famer Dick LeBeau, and you're listening to the number one sports talk show in Pittsburgh, the PM team, with Pony Mueller and Donnie Football. Go Steelers.
He also says Pittsburgh in that clip, if you'll notice.
Yeah, he kind of
hides
forgets
the
about
T's
the
in there. It kind of goes with Pittsburgh.
That's his southern twang.
But yeah, I mean, you hit me with a halftime show like that at any point, I'm going to be a fan. Like, I know people love when the dogs are running around and you
sure.
throw the frisbees, but...
So do all. You can count me among
that
group.
I know the Monday night game this year is the Hall of Honor one, and that's Big Ben, Joey Porter, and Marquise Pouncey.
So, do they just not honor 50 years of the 75 team? Because they figure all of those guys were on the 74 team last year.
Good question.
So, the 75 team that beats the Cowboys in the Super Bowl doesn't get a 50th anniversary party, which I think they absolutely deserve. Like, you're kind of not punishing, but you're kind of like just taking for granted the fact that they went back to back. And there has to be some guys, if I really started to rack my brain, who were on the 75 team who weren't on the 74 team.
I have another question about this picture now that I'm now the gears are really turning.
Here we go, back to that one.
No, the gears are really turning. Hold on. If you're Nate Washington, who appeared in one game for that team, are you even invited back for this?
He was there.
Like, he was? I didn't even notice. I honestly wasn't, like, looking that.
I think he was there.
I was looking at all the people who, like, played a very, very, like, was Noah
Dan Kreider got a nice little pop.
Was Boom.
He had to.
Was Noah Heron there?
No. Ryan Wallace was there.
Willie Williams. I didn't even look.
No Willie Williams.
Russell Stuvaints.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Well, here's
Was Deuce there?
No, that would have been a... Well, he's coaching, too.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Here's
You're
a
right.
guy that I'm guessing wasn't there, because I would have seen pictures of it. Maybe it's because he had a reduced role on the team. It was a backup, but James Harrison.
Yeah, no Harrison.
No,
you know, yeah, like, that was like before we figured out who James Harrison was.
He probably
you would
think
had
when
like they honor 43, he'll be there.
100%.
He probably had like a... He probably had like a car rigged up to his waist via chain, and he was just backpedaling, pulling like a small Volkswagen just for fun. It was Matt Kranchick there. I didn't see 88.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.